Hello, everyone, and welcome to Whistle in the Dark.
Ooh. Sorry, it's me. It's April. Let's do this. Hey, and welcome to episode 4 of Whistle in the Dark, a feel-good podcast about all things terrifying. In it, I'm going to interview friends about supernatural experiences, discuss irrational fears, and feature immersive radio drama-style storytelling. On this week's episode, I dust off a recording from 2019 that I'm very excited to share. I recorded it with my friend Tanaz of Forever Conscious, and we trade spooky stories, fun stories, feel-good stories, all surrounding dreams and sleep. Tanaz is great. I edited myself to be tolerable. Let's do this. Hello.
Hi.
This is the Whistle in the Dark podcast, and I'm your host, April, and I'm here with my friend, Tanaz.
Hi.
Hello. It's so hard to be like a singular host, you know? It's like, hello, I'm April. None of you know me, but here's my first guest. Hey, guys. Present day April here. I know I already covered this in the intro, but I'm finding it difficult to listen back to this old recording of myself. So I'm going to interject from time to time just to have a little fun with it, you know? Okay. Well, she's the creator of Forever Conscious, which is a website, and you can probably explain it better than I can. So maybe you should take it from here.
Yeah, so it's just a website or a blog, really, that has articles on spirituality, astrology, mindfulness, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, so today we are going to have a spook-off, that's what I'm calling it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's used that term before, but I'm going to say no. Basically, this is just a way for me to get Tanaz to tell us her scary stories, because Tanaz has some good ones. And we're going to go scary first and then end with a little bit of lighthearted stuff. So are you ready?
Ready? I'm ready.
So cue the scary music and let's do this.
Okay. So I'm maybe 13, 14 years old, and let me just set up the room for you. So I'm asleep in my bed, and one side of my bed has a window and the other side is a desk. So I'm asleep, and it's not usual for me to wake up in the middle of the night, but I can feel this cold breeze on my face and it's starting to wake me up. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I must have left my window open. And the breeze starts getting stronger and more like cold. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to get out of bed and shut my window, like it's freezing. So I'm like, I don't want to do that. But eventually it's getting so cold that I open my eyes and I realize my face is not turned towards the window. The window is behind me and my face is towards my desk. And I can see my desk and underneath my desk, and I'm a little confused, thinking like, okay, why am I feeling this cold breeze on my face? And all of a sudden, from under my desk, it looks like there's this black orb or like black ball of, I don't know, energy. And when I say orb, it wasn't like fuzzy around the outside. It was actually like a very distinct black circle with sharp edges, and it sort of comes out from under my desk and I can see it moving, and it starts moving towards me, and I am just terrified. I felt like my entire body was frozen and I started breaking out into a cold sweat. And I just started praying. And I literally did that all night long, until the sun came up. Like, I didn't sleep that whole night. I was terrified. And that's kind of all that had happened. And I know that doesn't like maybe sound like a lot, but I was like shitting my pants, you know, like I couldn't move. It was terrifying. And I remember telling my friends at school that day, like, what had happened. And they were like, oh, wow, that's really crazy. And there was this guy in my class, his name was Victor, and he overheard my story and he turns around and he goes, oh, well, that's the devil. And I, at the time, I remember thinking like, oh, well, I don't believe in that. But oh my God, was I freaked out. Oh man, I was really terrified to the point where for the entire week I slept with the light on. I was that scared. And then even to this day, if you go into my room now, I have a nightlight under my desk.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how much it scared me. I have no idea what it was, why it happened, what it wanted, what it was doing. I have no idea, but it terrified me.
It was the devil or not.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And you never saw it again?
No, I never saw it again.
All right, that one's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, now it's my turn.
Okay, go for it.
So I guess I'll give a bit of backstory for this. I have not been a great sleeper for most of my life. I think I've had like periods of time where I'm better and others where I'm worse. The worst was probably like a few years ago when I was having like bouts of insomnia. Mm-hmm. I started experiencing things between like my waking and sleeping state. They were usually auditory. I'm gonna list a few of them. Okay, I'm clearly nervous here, which is why I'm laughing at nothing. Bear with me. One of them seemed pretty innocuous. This was when I had my wisdom tooth taken out and they put me on some painkiller. And I actually woke up a little early that morning after my surgery. And I was having a hard time getting back to sleep. But every time I did, like, begin to fall asleep, I started hearing, like, men's voices. It was a conversation that I couldn't like decipher, you know, like it sounded like a conversation like you would hear through the wall almost. There was nothing sinister in it, but it kept waking me up every time I was trying to fall asleep. And then I just kind of gave up trying to fall asleep. I kind of chalked it up to the medication. But the second one was a little scarier. It was another morning. A lot of these happened in the morning, which is interesting because you think these scarier things would happen at night. But it was like the same kind of situation where I had woken up kind of early and I tried to get back to sleep and it felt like I was kind of drifting. I was like on my left side and I suddenly heard a little girl whisper my name in my right ear. And I completely lost it. Like, I jumped up and screamed. There was nothing there. And that's partly why I don't actually like to be in silence really ever. Like, whenever I sleep, I have a noise machine on. I mean, like, it could be, like, just a vicious cycle where it feeds in on itself. It's like a drinking game idea. Every time I say, like, take a shot. Fun. It's like your fear is feeding it and then it happens and blah, blah, blah. You know. Mm-hmm. But then the third time, this actually felt like it was a direct response to my mood. I had noisy neighbors upstairs and they were starting to wake me up in the mornings. And there was one morning when I heard a noise upstairs and I still felt like I was kind of like between waking and sleep. In response to the noise, I kind of like was like, ugh. You know, like I kind of just made this really frustrated noise. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately heard a man growl.
Oh my God.
From behind me.
Oh my God.
And it literally sounded like a man growling like a dog. That's what it sounded like.
Wow. And it sounded like it was in the room.
Yeah. And I completely freaked out again. I think that one was even worse, maybe. But there's another one that's the worst that I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And it was actually like way back when I first moved to LA. And one night, I thought I had woken up. I think I failed to mention that I had fallen asleep first, but okay. I was lying in bed. I was lying on my back. But what was interesting is my arm was kind of, it was standing like on its elbow. My forearm was upright. And suddenly I felt like this, it was almost like a sting. It was this sensation that started to like spread across my forearm. And at the same time, I heard this breathing from underneath my bed, but it was like a long, drawn out breath. And I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't move my body. And I immediately started praying and rebuking the devil. Because, like Victor, that seemed like some evil demonic shit. I'm sorry, the word was seemed-ed? Seemed-ed, was it? And then I suddenly was able to move again. And I couldn't even tell if I had woken up or if I was just able to move again. It was very hard to distinguish whether I had been sleeping or not. But I hadn't even heard about like sleep paralysis yet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people with sleep paralysis experience hallucinations and they can be terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to explain it that way because I can't accept that I've experienced something supernatural. Right. Because I think it might ruin my life if I had to, you know, if I went that route.
Yeah.
So
did it happen again?
Well, last night, actually, last night, something else happened. And like this happens every once in a while to me mm-hmm. because I just have issues with sleep. And last night I went to bed very early. I was very tired. I woke up at like 4:15 maybe. And I heard a noise outside and I kind of like harumphed again, you know, where I was like, ah. And then suddenly I heard little footsteps coming towards me.
Oh my gosh.
And I like jumped out of bed. Okay.
That's interesting. You know, the state between where you're not exactly asleep, but you're almost asleep. A lot of people experience sort of supernatural encounters in that window because you're mm-hmm. sort of more lucid and open and your intuitive senses are a little bit more tuned in. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's what you experience, but
yeah.
it is interesting that those windows of time are very sensitive.
I remember you telling me that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to have to push that out of my mind.
Sorry. No, I just like reinstated it.
I looked it up once and I read actually that a lot of like creative type people mm-hmm. have hallucinations during that state, you know, of falling asleep. And it's called like a hypnagogic hallucination, I think, because mm-hmm. it's you're in that hypnagogic state. I hope I'm saying it correctly.
I have no idea.
It doesn't have to be full on sleep paralysis even, mm-hmm. but a lot of people like hear things during that like that little stage of sleep. It tends to wake me up because apparently I have a terrifying mind. So
the mind is very powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, creatives like yourself, you probably have a very strong imagination.
I do.
As well. And that line, like you said earlier, is blurred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of horror movies, so who knows?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so I will go into my second story. This one happened when I was living in LA and I was over at my boyfriend at the time. He's now my husband, but I was over at my boyfriend's house at the time. And he had a strange apartment. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to say that it was haunted because I don't think it was haunted, but it just had some sort of dense energy. I don't know if it was from the people living there before him or what, but I was sleeping over at his place and I'd had this dream. I was in a car and basically I'm driving and there's a car in front of me that's swerving out of control and I'm sort of panicking a little bit. And as I get closer to the car and as the car is kind of like swerving in front of me, I see this woman. She kind of looked like the woman from The Ring. Long black hair and like this white face. And I see her in the rear window of the car. And she looks at me and she just starts screaming. Her mouth opens and it's that whole like horror movie look. And I really feel like I might have had that dream before this moment. But I wake up and I start to feel like there is a presence in the room at the end of the bed. I can sense this woman moving around the outside of the bed. I didn't hear anything like footsteps, but I can sort of sense this energy moving around. And then I'm pretty sure I feel she has come into the bed. And now I'm really freaking out and I'm thinking, Tanaz, don't be silly, just go back to bed. There's nothing here, you just had a bad dream. And I'm like trying to talk myself into falling asleep. And eventually I do. When I wake up in the morning, I didn't mention my dream yet at all, but my boyfriend at the time was like, I had the craziest dream. And he starts proceeding to tell me how he dreamt about a woman running around the room, running around the outside of the bed. He also said he felt like she got into the bed and he started visualizing a white light around the bed and around the bedroom and then around the apartment. And he sort of said that he blasted her away using the white light. And obviously my mouth fell to the floor and I was like, oh my God, like I had a similar experience. And I told him what had happened to me. And it was wild. That was mm-hmm. wild.
Yeah. So I've heard this story before in not so much detail. And I think it's like one of the scariest things that you've told me. Like, I think about it still sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I think I would have just chalked it up to me having a bad dream. And I probably wouldn't even have mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he had the same experience, I was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So Tanaz wins that round because mine aren't even probably real. I don't know.
Well, neither are mine, maybe. Who knows?
So yeah, that's the scary portion of this episode. And now we're gonna like leave off with a couple of good ones. Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember how old I was. Maybe I wanna say, I don't know, for some reason I was 14. Like I don't remember. I think I was around that age though. And I had watched a scary movie. I think I had seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Nope.
And I think I had gone to sleep and I'd woken up at 3 a.m. So I was like mm-hmm. crapping my pants. And I remember praying again just to, you know, oh, like don't possess me, please. Like, I don't know, praying to God or whatever. And I had sort of just been tossing and turning all night and not really been able to sleep. But eventually I had kind of fallen into this half state of sleep. And I remember in this half state of sleep seeing these giant angels. Like they were like giant, tall beings. One looked like my mom, one looked like my nana, and one looked like my little sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like seeing them and thinking like, and just knowing that they were angels and they were extremely tall. And I remember asking them, why do you look like my nana, my mom, and my sister?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them saying to me like telepathically, if we came in any other way, you'd be too afraid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I felt one of them, I can't remember which one, bend down because they were tall
mm-hmm.
and kiss me on the cheek. And it was Ooh. Like, I can still feel it. Like it was really real.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
So it was like, don't be scared. We're with you.
Yes.
Like, so you think those were spirit guides? Like, do you interchangeably use like angels and spirit guides sometimes?
Sometimes. But to me, these beings felt like angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I guess the distinction that I have is that a spirit guide maybe has like been human once before,
mm-hmm.
whereas an angel is like not a human being. And that's what these things felt like.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's a feel-good one.
Mm-hmm. Here I go. So when I was younger, I used to have seizures, which like happens sometimes to kids when their brains are developing. So I was going through that. And my last one was very intense. I was about 10, I think. And I used to feel it coming on. It's called an aura when you feel it coming on, usually when I was falling asleep. So this is partly why I don't like falling asleep, because when I was a kid, that's when these seizures would come on. So a lot of the time I would hop out of bed and basically try to run it off. Like that was my body's instinct, was like, just run it off. So I hopped out of bed. Obviously it won't work. This time I made it to my mom's room before I collapsed though. My body just like took over and I would fall. And my mom hopped out of bed. My sister was there actually. And they immediately just like ran over and started praying over me. And it was the longest one that I ever had. I think it was almost like a minute, which is pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped, thankfully. And I didn't know it at the time. My sister told me after, But while it was happening, my sister saw a man standing in the doorway, and it looked to her like God, basically what she imagined God to look like. You know, he was wearing white, he was glowy, you know, and he was standing there, and he looked like he was protecting me or giving off like some kind of like calming presence. Yeah. And then she told my mom after that. My mom didn't tell me right away. And then we went to see a new doctor after that. We did all the tests, and she basically came back with, well, whatever those other doctors were seeing is gone.
Oh, wow.
And I never had another seizure again. Whew. Okay, let's unpack this a bit. This was my last convulsive seizure. As I have since learned, an aura is a type of seizure, and I still get them sometimes. But I included this story because I like it. I believe my sister saw someone or something that night. Could have been God. Could have been any number of things. But I think she sensed a turning point that night, and she was right. So I guess that's what I wanted to say.
I'll leave off with a very stupid one if we want.
Yeah, go for it.
We're not doing my stupid one because it's too stupid. Long story short, I thought a ghost took my cookie. There you go.
Okay, so I have a little silly one as well, kind of. Again, I'm not exactly sure how old I was. I think I was like 10, around that age, 8, 9, or 10. And my older sister was like, hey, you want to do a Ouija board with me? And I was like, yes. And she was like, okay, but like the rule is we have to do it in your room. And I was like, sure. I was just totally oblivious. I was just an honor to be invited to do anything with my older sister. So I didn't question anything.
Yeah.
So she comes into my room at night. So it had to be done at night. So I was like super excited. Oh. And she came into my room with a piece of paper with like all the letters and the numbers on it. And then like a candle and a marker to like move around the piece of paper. And she was like, we're going to summon the spirit of Marilyn Monroe and we're going to talk to her. And I was like, okay, cool. Just going along with it.
It's funny. Like, sorry to interrupt. I've heard about a couple of people trying to contact Marilyn Monroe, and it's very interesting to me. I mean, she did lead an interesting and like tragic life, you know, but it's just funny how many people want to talk to her through a Ouija board. Like,
I think my sister felt like a bit of a connection to her because she wanted to be an actor and Marilyn was an actor, and I think they have a very similar birth date, or they were both Gemini. And I think my sister for some reason just felt connected because she was always a big fan of her. So anyway, my sister instructs me to say this chant, like to summon her spirit. So we're just repeating this chant over and over. And I can't remember what it was, but it was like, we call on the spirit of Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe, do you hear us? Actually, that's exactly what it was. I'm pretty sure. But nothing happened. Mm-hmm. No marker moved. It was all whatever. And that was it. But after that, and like, this is, I didn't really understand what a Ouija board was, and kind of the full effects of what we were doing did not occur to me at the time.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I started noticing like just a weirdness in my room. I remember feeling like just sort of weird energy. And I didn't want to tell my mom because like I didn't want to be that tattletale, and it was such a privilege to have been able to hang out with my sister and do stuff with her. And I didn't want to like abuse her trust or whatever, but it got to the point where my room just was starting to freak me out.
Really?
Yeah. So I ended up telling my mom.
She would just walk in and it would feel kind of heavy or something.
I want to say it felt prickly. Like I'd walk in there and like it got to the point where I ended up telling my mom that my room feels weird. And she was like, what have you been doing? And I told her what happened. I told her about the Ouija board, and she got really mad at me. And I remember her reaction probably freaking me out even more because I was like, wait, this stuff is real? Like, you believe in this stuff? And she was like, don't you be meddling with that kind of stuff. And then I remember she came into my room with a incense stick and like waved it around the room, and then the room felt better.
What do you think it was?
So I think when you try to summon a spirit like that in the way that we were doing it, I reckon we probably invited in or started to conjure up some energy force or some, you know, a force field of energy where like a spirit could appear into it. So I don't know whether it was like there was a full-blown spirit in there or ghost or whatever, but I think we obviously just sort of created a little bit of an energy portal or like an energy force.
And kind of opened a door.
Yeah. Or was close to a door being
there. Maybe not fully
open. Yeah, because I feel like if it had fully opened, like there probably would have been way more activity in the room.
Yeah.
But it was just sort of like this, you could brush it off, eerie, prickly kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are our stories, I guess, right? Those are the good ones. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Tanez. Well,
thank you for having me.
And I'd love to have you on again. Talk about other things, maybe.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And I don't even know what the sign off is. Still don't. Well, this has been Whistle in the Dark and a Booga Booga.
It's kind of funny.
All right. Whoops. We're out. Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 4 of Whistle in the Dark. If you like this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The first season will be released every other week, so stay tuned for episode 5 on July 15th. If you'd like me to tell any spooky stories you have, please submit them to whistleinthedarkpod, that's whistleinthedarkpod, P-O-D, at gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at whistleinthedarkpod, or on Twitter at thewhistledark. Big thanks to Tanez for being on the show. And be sure to check out her website, foreverconscious.com. See you next time. Pretty good? Huh? Huh? All right, bye.